Welcome to Threshold Church. Today's message is from Laura Andrews.
All right, well, I felt like God had a specific word that he gave me about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, for this morning. And this is something that's really burning in my heart. It's a passion in my heart. God's been taking me on a journey over this past year, specifically. About a year ago, the Lord put on my heart to start a Bible study, a virtual Bible study, and just to open up the Word of God every day and to study it, not just to read it, crossing it off for the day, but to read and to study and to dig in. And it, to be honest, it's really transformed my life. I have read the Bible before. It was a long time ago, all the way through. But this time, you know, as you get older in your faith of the Lord, you become more passionate for him. You get that desire and that fire within you that you really, really, really want to change, and you want to learn, and you want to grow. And so it was different this time. As I was reading word after word, it has just transformed me. So if you are sitting here and you have not read the Bible through, I encourage you to do so. There's so many apps, there's so many Bibles that you can walk through. There's so many people around that you can just link arms with and read the word together. This is how we grow. This is one way how we grow in the Lord. We've got to know the word of God. Jake spoke last week on praying the word, praying the word over us. We need to know the word to pray it over us. Amen. We need to know where to go in our Bible when we are coming against fear, we're coming against despair. We need to know where we need to go in the Word, so to pray it over our lives. So anyway, amen. We're going to start in the book of Nehemiah. Oh, that's great. I just want to open up in prayer before we begin. I lost my spot, so. Father, I just thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for what you've already done this morning. Just the praise that we were able to offer up to you, God, the unity that was in this room and that's still in this room. God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word of truth this morning. Lord, I just am a vessel. I'm just a messenger. And so, God, I ask you that the Holy Spirit would just come in this room like a flood. I give you my vessel, Lord. I ask you just to use me this morning to speak forth your word, that we can mature in a greater way, Lord, that we can grow together in a greater way. So I just yield to you, Holy Spirit. I thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So I want to kind of go through the book of Nehemiah. I felt like that's what the Lord had for this morning. And just to kind of give you a little bit of background, a little bit of history. Someone said this to me, history is important. And I was like, oh, history was the boring subject I remember in high school. But history, when you're talking about the word, is his story. And it's really important for us to know his story because everything in the Old Testament points to Christ. Amen. And it's really important for us to know the history and to know our Bible. So I'm just going to give you a little quick history lesson. Ezra and Nehemiah, the book of Ezra is before Nehemiah, and these were actually joined together and later broken apart, but these two books were written by the same author, and they were split by scholars later on, but the history and the background is they kind of formed together. There was a time that Babylon took over, the empire destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, and many of the Jews went into exile at this time. And we remember that with Moses before Pharaoh. And, you know, the Jews seemed to, like, get to this place of understanding and desire to seek God and, you know, get that revival stirred up. And then they slowly just get back and they walk away from the word, the Torah, the commandments of God. And they find themselves in the same ditch. And here they are. They're coming out of Babylon at this time. And the Lord raises up three different men. Zerubbabel, this is in Ezra. Zerubbabel leads some people back from exile into Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. So that's the first man. And then Ezra is used. God uses him to preach back the Torah, the commandments, and to bring unity to the body, to bring everyone back together. But today we're going to talk about Nehemiah. And Nehemiah, the Lord leads him to rebuild a wall. And he does a lot, much more than that. So let's open up our Bible and let's just read the word. I'm going to read chapter 1, and I'm going to go all the way down. So you can just follow with me. I'm in the ESV. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hilkiah, now has happened in the month of Chisavel, in the 12th year. I'm sorry, let me just skip down right here. Verse 3, and they said unto me, the remnant there in the province who has survived in exile is of great trouble and shame, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are destroyed by fire. So here's Nehemiah, and he's hearing what's going on. He's inquiring. He's saying, what's going on with my brothers and sisters? So let me give you, who's Nehemiah? Does anyone know, who doesn't know who Nehemiah is? Okay. I'm going to tell you anyway. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. He was a cupbearer to the king, Artaxerxes. And at that time, a cupbearer. So when I think of a cupbearer, I think, oh, okay, this man is like really giving his life before the king, right? So he drinks anything before the king does. If it's poisonous, well, he dies and the king doesn't, right? So in this position, it seems kind of like lowly. When I first was like, wow, this is kind of like a lowly position. But in all reality, it really wasn't, because the king needed to trust this man. The king needed to see great character in this man, right? There had to be an honestness. The character had to run deep in this individual. And the Lord positioned Nehemiah in this place for such a time as this, right? So we read that in verse 4, it says, as soon as I heard this, so Nehemiah is saying, as soon as I heard these words, I sat down and I wept and I mourned for days. So he heard about his brothers and sisters. He heard about Jerusalem, and he heard how just they came out of exile, and they were in great trouble. They were in great shame. Nothing was happening. When they came out, they were still smelling of dirt and of, you know, the past experiences, right? When's the last time that we've mourned and just wept before the Lord for our family, for the body of Christ, for this nation? I was so convicted when I, in a good way, you know, just challenged. Wow. And what did he do? I continued to fast and pray before God and before heaven. And I said, O Lord, God of heaven, great is thy awesome God. So let's look and see what he did. He wept, he mourned for days, not just a few minutes, right? We have people that come up to us and say, oh, you know, this situation happened to me, and this situation happened to me. And the famous Christian line is, oh, I'll pray for you. And do we? Or we do pray, and then it just ends there. God is calling us to a greater walk with him. A greater walk with him. And it doesn't mean we need to pray for hours. Sometimes it's just that simple prayer and of belief that God is a God who says, and he's a God who will do, right? So sometimes it's just that prayer of faith that needs to be instilled in us. Well, Nehemiah first gives an exaltation to the Lord. He says, great, awesome God. So just like this morning, we were up here praising God, giving thanks and praise, because that praise goes back to him. Great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him. So with those who love him and those who keep his commandments. So it's not just loving God. It's not just loving God. Oh, I love God. I love God. No, it's pursuing his commandments. And what is that? We live under the great commandment. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant Now that I pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned against you. We have acted very corruptly against you, and we have not kept the commandments and the statutes, the rules that you commanded your servant Moses. And then I love this part. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses. Do you know we get to take the word and we get to tell the Lord back? Not because God forgets his word, but sometimes we forget his word, right? Sometimes we forget the promises that God has given us. Sometimes we forget the things that God has said over us. And sometimes we forget the word, the history. When we speak the word, we're not only confessing it through our mouth, but we're sending it to heaven, but we're listening it ourselves. When we speak out loud, we're hearing it. Our flesh is being pushed down, and our spirit is being made alive. But if you return to me and my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there I will gather them and bring them to a place that I have chosen to make my name dwell there. So I'm just going to stop right here. I felt like this past, like just in the past year, that the Lord is most certainly rising up a people. And we feel it. We hear it all around, right? The revival that's going to happen. We've heard prophetic words. Many of us feel a stirring in our heart over this as well. And I, in my quiet time, I'm like, Lord, I want revival. I desire that. I've had the blessing of even going through revival at a young age in our own church and experiencing some really great things, signs, wonders, miracles. It was great, and it was a growing time. But the cry of my heart was like, Lord, what happens after the revival? What happens? What happens after the revival? We read in Scripture this, and we see in Nehemiah later on that Nehemiah goes, and he goes before the king, and he says, King, I feel like I'm supposed to go. I need to go and meet up with my people, and we're supposed to rebuild the wall. And because of the trustworthiness, because of the honor of where he was at, the king gave him this permission to go. Not only did he give him permission to go, but he gave him the finances. He said, write a letter to so-and-so and make it possible for me to get wood. Write a letter to so-and-so and have the armies surround us for protection. And so as Nehemiah walked, the Lord surrounded him with protection, and the Lord also gave him the financial means to go back to Jerusalem to build this wall. And so if you read through each chapter as you're going through, chapter 3 talks about rebuilding and repairing. It talks about as they're building and repairing each individual that some of the wall they needed to gut out. They needed to rip out. And some of the wall was just an easy repair. And as I was reading that, I was like, that's just like our life, right? As we're rebuilding certain things in our walk, there are things that have to be uprooted. There are things that we have to be tenacious to uproot and dig up. When we were at Peter's mom's house, in this fall, his mom asked if he could uproot all these like thorns and vines, a lot of thorns. And it was a huge, huge task. But because of those thorns and vines, even rats were living in there. And she was having another issue because of the thorns and vines that were not uprooted. A lot of times we look at our life and we're like, Lord, why? Why am I walking through this? But God is saying, you need to uproot. You need to go and you need to uproot those things that I've called to be disposed. And when we start to uproot things, we're going to see that God's manifestation of his peace and his joy and his love, it will be a manifestation in our life. God calls us to rebuild in the areas that need rebuilt in our life. And he calls us to repair. And how do we do that? By praying. These are the themes of our church, right? Praying and reading the word by the Holy Spirit, by meditating day and night. chapter 4, verses 4 through 5, Nehemiah, I'm not going to read through this because, and this is a really great book just to go through, but in chapter 4 and 5, it talks about how Nehemiah comes against resistance. There's people all across the land, even other Jews, other men and women that are coming, and they come to cause division and strife. Don't underestimate. The Bible already says this, right? When we are walking out in truth, that the enemy will come in like a flood. He will come in, but we have to, what I loved about Nehemiah is that he stood firm. He stood firm in what he knew. When the enemy came, or when division and strife came, he said, no, he knew it. That's right. He understood the enemy's tactics, and he stood firm in faith. You know, we have this virus going on right now that is just like, wow. If you're on Facebook, you can see the fear, just the fear that is manifested. And you know, I don't know anything that, because I know people are getting hurt and people are dying, and I don't denote that. But what we have to see as people is we look no different than the world when we stand in fear. We look no different. But when we stand firm and the enemy comes against us with those things, and the world comes against us with fear and doubt, when we stand, the enemy must flee. He has to go. He has to go. In chapter 6, the wall is built. And in chapter 8, there is a great celebration. So I would say it's like a mini revival. They get together. They're excited. They know what God's doing. It's exciting. There's a feast. There's days of prayer. There's days of reading the word. It was a party. It was exciting. But the big point that I want to drive home is after the party, after the wall is built and all that God had done, and then the party happens, we read at the end of Nehemiah. And we read that Nehemiah goes around town. He's like so excited. He's like, yeah, the people of God, they're seeking the Lord. We just had a fast. We just prayed. I just think about that in January, right? How many of us came together? We were fasting. We were praying. We were excited. What happened after that? What's happened after that for you guys? I just want you to take a moment and examine. Do you still have the fire? Do you still have the desire? Just take a moment and examine that. All right, Lord, am I still praying like I was? Am I still hungry like I was during that time that was exciting, that we were all coming together, that we were all worshiping, that we were all talking the same language, that we were all in unity? Is that passion and desire still there? I challenge us, challenge all of us, that it's the quiet revival. It's that hidden revival, the secret place that's sustaining. We can get excited about revival, and I am excited for what this world is going to see, because there will be a great harvest. But brothers and sisters, if we are not ready, we are not ready for that harvest that's coming in, if we do not have the kind of characteristic that Nehemiah had, that Abraham had, oh, so many fathers and sisters of the faith we can look back on and draw in. If we don't have those things already inside, if we haven't had that quiet, hidden, personal revival inside, it won't last. It won't last. You guys, we get the privilege every Sunday to come here and get stirred up. We get the privilege of coming together as unity. And it is an awesome thing. Not everybody gets this. You know, across the world, and I'm not saying in the United States, but across the world, There are people that are hidden in closets and little rooms that are seeking God. We are in the open. We get to express our love for the Lord together. We have such a privilege. We got to be reminded of that as we were sending off India, this team that's going to India. Talk about a place that's really, really, really hidden. Those people that love the Lord, they have to be careful. We have a great privilege. As Nehemiah, I had this vision. As Nehemiah was building with the people, well, and it even says it in the word, actually, that there was a time that when they were building the wall, that they were separated, and they didn't desire that. Nehemiah said, oh, no, come back together, come back together. There is power in unity as the body. And I speak to those, I know that we have some visitors here, but I speak to those that are planted here, that are members here, that have really took root here. You are here for a purpose. You are valuable to the kingdom of God. And I encourage you to ask the Lord what your value is here, what your purpose is here. If it's to serve, it's to be on the prayer ministry. We are the body and we are a collective group. We aren't just one. This isn't Pastor Jake's show, right? I think we all know that. That's definitely not his heart. We need each other. We all play a part. We all play a part. And if you're sitting here and wondering what your part is, then you need to inquire of the Lord. You know what? You can also inquire of your brother or sister. What do you see? What do you see the giftings in me? Would you pray for me this week and ask the Lord to help show me what my giftings are, what I can bring to the body? We cannot be sitters any longer. And if there is a fire in you, then you need to start lighting the fires beside you, because God has gifted you for this season to do so. Because I'm ready for the harvest. I'm ready to see some brothers and sisters that have lost their way. I'm ready to see that harvest, but it won't last if it's not lasting in us. If our personal revival is here and there, think about a fire. You have to turn it. You have to stoke it. It doesn't just stay. That's like my favorite thing when we go to the cabin, is stoking the fire, keeping it going. We have to keep it going. There is a cost. Jen had a word from the Lord today, and Jen, maybe later, Jen, I'll have you come up, but there's a cost to it. And sometimes that doesn't seem exciting, right? Nehemiah was a cupbearer. He was relaxed. He was in a good position, you know, in a sense. He had a good life, but he gave it up for a better life, for an eternal perspective. So can we turn to 1 Corinthians 3:10? First Corinthians 3:10 says, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field and God's building. So we work together with God. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I lay a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds it, for no one lays a foundation other than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So remember, the foundation has been laid, but the foundation is on Jesus. It's not on us. It's not on Jake. It's not on your favorite minister, on your favorite worship team. It's not on anything else but Christ and Christ alone. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves, and sometimes we need to refocus, because we've positioned ourselves, laying our foundation on something that is sinking sand. But the Bible says to build your foundation on the solid rock. So what's the test? How do we know for sure? Well, verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifested. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. Now, Jake did a message maybe about a year ago about the preciousness of the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. And I encourage you, if you have a moment this week, go back and listen to that. It was very good. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time in that, but what we know is that gold, the silver, and precious stones, when it's heated by the fire, it becomes more pure. So there's a purification that happens. But the wood, the hay, and the stubble, they just get burnt up. Are you planting gold, silver, and precious stones in your life? Are you wasting it away on the others, the hay, the stubble? What's long-lasting in your life? Is it the comforts of life? Is it the fun things you do? The things that will burn one day? Or are we laying, as a people of God, are we laying up those things that in eternity will stand before the Lord and he will look right in our eyes and he will say, well done, well done. In Psalms 1:3, it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. And he will bring forth this kind of fruit in the season. His leaf will not wither. And everything done will prosper. This past year has been a monumental year because the word of God in my life. So I stand here before you as a testimony of his goodness, of his word, and how it is ever changing. I have joy in my life because it's the God kind of joy. You know, we talk about in Galatians, the Bible talks in Galatians 5:22 about the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They all sound really nice, don't they? But they're hard to live out, but not by the Spirit, because the Bible says, walk in the Spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. So when you see fear, you know it's a counterfeit. And, you know, these fruits, they're not things that we can conjure up as people. If you want peace, you can't just be like, oh, all right, come on, peace, peace, peace. Or I'm just going to get a massage. That's all, I just need to relax. I feel peace. I feel peace. I feel peace. It just doesn't happen like that. Am I right? Come on, we know these things. I'm not saying anything new that none of you probably in this room don't already know. But you know what? I'm a sister in Christ. And we get to build each other up. We get to grow together. We get to encourage each other. We get to exhort one another. We have to do this as people. Are we able to talk to each other, you know, in a real manner? Are we able to have conversations that are hard and difficult without getting angry, without manifestation of anger or resentment or bitterness or why are you talking to me like that? No. We need to be like Jesus, confront the issues of sin, repent, and move on, right? We need to allow our brothers and sisters to speak into our life. Oh God, let us get this. Fear is a big one, you guys. The world is looking for peace. The world is looking for a peace that is only going to come through Jesus. The world's looking for joy. Happiness, man, people are seeking out the happiness, going to concerts and going here to try and fill up their joy tank, looking for love in all the wrong places. We have the answer. Amen? We have the answer. And each and every one of you are fire starters. Each one of you get to go wherever you go, wherever God called you, whatever place he's positioned you in. You know, Peter's in the hospital. Cheryl's in the hospital. Well, doctors. Some of you are working at McDonald's. Some of you are working at a clothing factory or a clothing store. You know, we're all positioned in different places. I can't go where you can go or where you go, and you can't go where I go, because God puts us in a specific place. Let's not look at each other and be jealous and envious. No, let's march forward together. Hey, I'm glad you're there. You know what? I'm praying for you this week, because I know that's a tough place. We've got to lose the jealousy and lose the envy and lose the strife in the church. And we got to start building together. Because God has always been about unity. He has always been about unity. Read this book. Read it. You will always see it. He's always bringing the church back together. And when Jesus came, he brought us all together. He said, no Jew, no Gentile. I came for all. I came for everybody. I came for your brother that's angry at you and doesn't know me. I came for your sister that's just walked away. I came for your father that just lost the desire to follow me. God came for all of us. Begin to ignite that fire again. Begin to ignite it. Don't let Sunday be the revival day for you. Let that personal revival happen every day. Come on, you guys. We are in this together. We are all in this together. I want to share this vision that the Lord gave me. Chad, would you come up on the keys? I have so much more to say, but I just feel by the Spirit that we're just supposed to just take a time and just enter into the presence of God individually. This morning, that Psalms 23 really spoke to me as well. And as they were playing it, I was like, Lord, this song is such life, and it is such a rejuvenation of repositioning ourselves, that you are the shepherd. You are the king. You are on the throne. And it doesn't matter what's going on all around us. I had a vision in my quiet time with the Lord a couple days ago, and so I'm gonna speak it forth. I feel like it's for this church specifically. So I would just ask that you would just close your eyes and ask the Lord just to minister to your heart. So I saw a vision of a building, and the building was very low to the ground. And it was just the beginning of a building. And I saw, just as in like Nehemiah, a brick brick by brick, and I saw some bricks laid already. And then I saw many of you coming forth and just walking, and you were placing your brick in this infrastructure. Each brick I knew represented you. And as we were all laying bricks down together, I saw this heavenly being. I don't know if it was the Lord or an angel or what, but begin to pour from a big, big clay pot mortar. And this mortar was just mixing and just pouring in with all these bricks. And as the mortar was being poured, I heard a voice say, "I'm building my kingdom." And I knew that this mortar represented prayer and the Word and Holy Spirit. The mortar was binding us together, binding our bricks together, so you couldn't even see one from another. The mortar was closing in the gaps. It was filling in the irregular gaps and grooves around different bricks. And at the end, I began to lose complete sight of all bricks, and I saw one building. And I feel like the Lord was saying through that, the importance of you in the kingdom of heaven, that in the womb he formed you, that in the womb he had a purpose. And we often lose sight of our purpose just through life. And we often lose sight of God's purpose through life, just the happenings of life. And so this morning, I saw a reposition of seeing the value of you in the kingdom. And I believe this morning that the Lord really wants to show you that. And the value of coming together. And the importance that each brick makes to God's infrastructure, to his kingdom. One brick that is not placed in right, that isn't even placed, causes a weakness in the infrastructure. We all have a part to play. When Nehemiah prayed, when he got before the Lord and he sought, I don't know if he knew in that moment that God was going to say, "Great, I'm glad you prayed. Now go." And he felt it in his heart for the Lord to take him to that place back to Jerusalem. Sometimes when we pray, God points the finger to us. Jesus. Lord, would you stir our hearts before you, God? Would you light the fire again? God, I thank you for that personal revival within us. That we are carriers of your anointing. We are carriers of your kingdom, Lord. We are the temple. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, keep us in heavenly perspective. At the end of Nehemiah, as you're just keeping your eyes fixed on the Lord, I'm just going to say this last thing. At the end of Nehemiah, Nehemiah goes around and he hears that, you know, the people of God have just kind of walked away again, just kind of forgot. And it was so disheartening to him. It was really hard for him, you know, almost to the point where he's like, all right, Lord, I did my best. But the importance of that book was really just to point towards Jesus, our need for the Savior. We need to have a heart transformation. It's not things that we can do or strive in our own self to try and make happen. We just have to yield. It is so simple. And I am learning this more and more and more as I grow in the Lord. It is so much about yielding and so much less about doing. Yes, there's an action on our part. You know, we live in a society that says self-help, fix it yourself. Read this book, you'll be better. But the Holy Spirit's just saying, my child, just yield to me. Yeah. I will give you rest. Let's just take a few minutes and just talk to God. Let's locate ourselves and just talk to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That vision that the Lord gave me, it said, I heard the Lord say that the foundation has been laid here and we are building. We're at a place that's building, but that foundation has been laid. Praise God. And there's those of you that feel that in your spirit. There are some of you that are sitting in your seats right now and you feel that burning. You feel that burning and that pull that you're this fire starter for the kingdom. And I really felt like this morning that the Lord wanted to minister to you to increase that burning passion, that personal revival that is happening. You feel that stirring throughout the week. You feel that just uncomfortableness in a good way. You know that God's working on you for something greater. If that's you, would you come forward?
I was just briefly sharing with Laura this morning that God was just speaking to me before church and just praying for her, and I just felt like God was just saying, it's easy to go to church and to get filled and to look to someone to pray for us and to stir the fire in us, and it's completely great. That's definitely needed, and it's a good thing, but there's also a real need to really experience God's presence in a very tangible way daily. And that requires something of us. That fire falls on sacrifice. And it's easy to sacrifice the things that don't mean much to us. But it's the things that he's asking us to lay down, like Abraham laid Isaac on the altar. That was his most precious promise and most long waited for blessing. And he's just saying, how much do we really want the fire of God in our lives? And Abraham didn't have the promise of a ram in the thicket. That long walk up knowing the very thing that he was promised by God, that he was going to have to sacrifice. And I feel like there's some of us here that there's even good things. It's beyond the good things. It's the thing that, God, you promised me this. You promised me this. This was spoken over my life. This is the fire in my bones. This is my very reason for breathing outside of you. And this is the thing that you're calling me to sacrifice, to lay down. But I promise you that he will meet you by fire. And if you want the fire in your life, you can have it. And the other thing he showed me was, I can't imagine how crushed Abraham was going up that mountain. And as the oils, the olives are crushed and they produce the oil, but it's up to us, the container that we provide. Are we willing to take offense and bitterness and past hurts and keep those things nailed on the altar as well? Or are we going to taint the oil that he wants to pour out in our lives? Or are we going to take the crushing and keep the container pure and to have a pure flow?
As I was praying for today, I saw people come forward, but then I also saw in the spirit that there were those that desire, but something's holding them back. And just as Jen spoke today, like maybe it's precious things that we've held on to that we just aren't ready to let go of. I don't know. The Lord may just be revealing those things to you. If that's you, and you're here and you are desiring to have that fire, that rooted fire within. You long for it, but you don't know how. I want you to find someone that's up here to pray for you. And we're going to go into a chorus of Psalm 23 and just worship him.
Lord. Heart specifically. specifically to the 20s and 30s and the young adults. And I know Paul prayed a few weeks ago just for a passion to fall on this age. And so, yeah, I'm just speaking to myself, but I feel like there's a call on the Lord for the young adults to rise up and to join in the building of his kingdom. And I'm there with you in the 20s and 30s, and it's like a season of change, and you're figuring out what to do and your calling. And I just feel like there's such a pull to build your own kingdom, and you can build it and it'll last for like 50 years and it might be good, or you can lay it down and decide to build the Lord's kingdom. And so, yeah, Father, I just ask that you would mark us, God, that you would mark our generation, Father, that we would be a generation that knows you, Lord, that walks in your ways, and that, Lord, lays down our life and builds your kingdom, God. And even just the 20s and 30s, I see there's a bunch of us up here, but if you're not up here, I just say, like, come get involved, like, come.
Spirit of the living God, come pour fresh on me, come wake me from my sleep. Dismiss. I want you to put your hand on the shoulder of a person next to you and just begin to pray for personal revival for the person next to you. Begin to pray. We all need this. Guys, I need it this morning. I needed this time this morning. I needed this time. God, I ask for personal revival in my own heart. I ask for personal revival in the person next to me, God. God, a revival that starts within me, Lord, within my own soul. God, I pray for the person next to me, God. Let them experience your fire in a new way today, God. Come on, begin to cry out for your brother and sister. Begin to pray for the Holy Spirit to fill his heart, her heart, in a fresh way. We all need this. God, I need the fresh fire of your Spirit, God. God, I need those flames to be stoked. I need those flames to be stoked today, God.
Personal burning, a personal.
I want those flames to be stoked, God, tomorrow morning when I wake up. I want those flames to be stoked, Lord, when I go to work. I want those flames to be stoked in my workplace, in my home, in my family. I want those flames to be stoked on the inside of me, God. Come on, pray. Just take a few more minutes. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray for that personal revival.
Oh, let that fire be in my heart. Stir it up, stir it up. Shayan dada, lika yitdodo solina na 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 mai. Lishaki mandelene, Father, in my own life, my own personal fire, burn up.
Come on, the Lord's moving in these prayers. Don't let up, the Lord's moving in these prayers. God, you're raising up a wall. I thank you that you're building the wall. I thank you that the gaps are closing. I thank you, Lord, that the gaps are closing, Lord. I thank you for this unity that's in this house. I thank you, God, that you command the blessing over a unified people today, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Make Jesus to let you out, to let the walk of the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, my own life, to walk in the Spirit, for everything to be right, to build on your Lord, God. Remove the stubble, Lord. I want to build with a precious stone.
God, I thank you for a generation on fire for you, God. A generation, Lord, on fire for you, building with gold, silver, and precious stone, laying aside the wood and the hay and the stubble, laying aside the things that are not eternal, laying aside the things that are going to burn up in the end, God, but focusing our lives, God, in a way, Lord, where the world might look and mock, or the complacent might look and not understand, but that we're building on things that are eternal, God. I thank you, Father. I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing. We just agree with what you're saying today. We agree with what you're doing today. We agree, Father. We say yes and amen to it, God. We say yes and amen to it, Father.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Father God, I just thank you, Father, for my own personal life, for my own personal revival. God, God, do away. Father, remove those things, Father. Thank you, Lord,
God, I thank you that your house shall be called a house of prayer. I thank you that your house shall be called a house of prayer, God. That you're raising up the praying people in this house, God. I thank you, God. God, I thank you, Lord, that it's not church as usual, God. God, I thank you, Lord, that we respond to what this hour demands, God. We respond to the needs of this time. We respond to the call of this time, Lord. God, I ask for the Holy Spirit now to fall afresh right now over every person in this room. I release the fire of the Holy Spirit right now to burn in the hearts of the people. Right now, I release a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. He's coming upon many of you even right now. You're feeling the fire of God to begin to burn in your heart right now. I release, God, a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire falling upon the people in this room right now. I thank you for it, God. Release it right now, Lord. Release it right now, God. It's burning in the hearts of people even right now, Father. Let the fire of God fall right now in the spirits of your people. I thank you, God. We say, come, Holy Spirit, right now. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I just want to remind you of this phrase the Lord gave me during our fast, during our 21-day fast. The Lord gave me this phrase. It's not about a moment. It's about a movement. And so it's not just about a meeting. It's not about a moment. It's about a movement of taking what God is doing and continuing to build on it and to go into your day, into your morning, into your week. It's not about just this moment or about just this meeting. It's about cultivating it daily. It's about cultivating it and let this, like Laura said, stoking the fire every day. And we can all do that. Yeah. Nobody can do that but you and the Lord. You and the Holy Spirit together are stoking that flame. So let's just give the Lord praise for what he's doing today and speaking today. God, we just say thank you. And we say yes and amen, God, to this call. And just to the personal revival you're bringing in our hearts, Lord, in our church body. God, we say thank you and we give you glory. We praise you. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We give you glory, God. We give you praise, God. We give you honor, Jesus. We honor you, Spirit of God. We say thank you. We say thank you, God. We say you are worthy and we say thank you, Father. God, I just declare your blessing over this people, Lord. Even as we go from this place, Lord, that the fire continues to burn in our hearts. And that it's a contagious fire. That will not be kept to ourselves, God, but that will spread to others. So I just declare your blessing, Lord, over this people and over what you're doing in our hearts and our lives today. You would seal these things, Lord, with the precious blood of Jesus. And let us continue to walk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
And to apply, Lord, the things that you've spoken to each individual person today, that we would begin to walk those out, to be doers of the word and putting them into action every day. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God.
For more information about Threshold Church, visit the website at threshold-church.com.